Man, I am really glad that we could be here together today and open up the book of Proverbs again. We are taking a time out from our series of the people of God and jumping into a kind of mini series this summer on the Proverbs. And the people of God, we kind of ended off with Solomon, who was what we heard was the wisest man who's ever lived, right? And he wrote many of the Proverbs that we're reading, and we kind of opened up the Proverbs and looked and said, what are these? And what is this book to us and for us? And we looked at that and understand that those are given to us, these Proverbs were given to us for our instruction, so that we can be wise, so that we can be prudent, so we can be discerning, so that we don't have to walk ignorantly through the path of life following all the other voices that are around us with their gravitational pull towards folly. We went through Proverbs chapter 1 about this father who's sitting down with his son and really just working through and trying to help his son understand what the path of wisdom looks like, what it looks like to walk with skill in life, to be prudent, discerning, so that he's not tricked and deceived by all the stuff of life, right? So that he doesn't listen to the voices of those who are calling him away from the path of wisdom into the path of folly. Walking the path of life for us is a challenge. It's fraught with traps, and there is an enemy that wishes us harm, and so we need skill. We are people who need discernment to walk this path of life. We said that is what wisdom is the skill of living. In the Proverbs are written as a father would write to his son to just plead with him, son, walk in wisdom. What does this look like? How do we do that? Proverbs are, we said, maxims for life. As we open up this book and we read what it says, we understand that these are observational truths on reality of how the world really works, right? And we said that they're not necessarily formulas, like a checklist, that if you do things in this way, just as the proverb says, then life's going to produce this automatic result. That's not how it works. We see that play out in the book of Job, right? Where Job is walking in the fear of the Lord, he's walking in wisdom, yet calamity strikes him. And all his buddies show up and they're like, well, you must have done something wrong. But he hadn't. God was using those calamities in his life to show him who he was. They're general observation. They're not formulas, not hard and fast promises. They're observations on how life generally works. Explanation of what the world is really like and how the world works, even in all its brokenness. We learned that the Proverbs are full of wisdom and skill and discernment so we can navigate this life well. The whole book of Proverbs, we said, is a collection of wisdom sayings. It's the wisdom literature of the scripture. But our purpose and focus today will be to see what the Proverbs reveals to us and shows us about wisdom. Because wisdom is the key to understanding what the Proverbs is about. The Proverbs is trying to lay out for us what it looks like to live in wisdom. And so you see this word pop up all throughout the Proverbs. We'll be framing our time together today in a series of questions and answers that are straight from the Proverbs themselves. Our roadmap today is looking to and asking the question, what is wisdom? And dive a little bit deeper into that understanding. Where does wisdom come from? What benefit is it of me? If I am a person who's going to seek and learn wisdom, what do I get from it? And what happens if I reject it? What happens if I put up a stiff arm against wisdom and the knowledge that God wants to give me and say, no, I don't want that. I want to walk in my own way. And the Proverbs lays that out for us. The first question we hit this morning is what is wisdom? We talked about this last week a little bit, that wisdom is the skill of living. It's a practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations. It's understanding, it's discernment, it's seeing life as it really is, right? And being able to have the skill to be able to navigate it. This word for wisdom was used of the craftsman in the Old Testament who crafted the ornaments for the tabernacle. And they were the ones who embroidered the work of the priestly garments, and they did it with such skill and such craftsmanship. It's the same word that is used for wisdom. And it's the same word that we see used for sailors who navigate well in the ocean and by the stars. They have skill and they're craftsmen. And we want that. We want to walk this life in that way. We want to walk this life in wisdom and in skill for living so that we can see the world as it really is and respond to it appropriately. We need skill for living, to see things as they really are, to see God as king. Now, wisdom differs from knowledge, and that wisdom is the unique ability to apply what you know to different situations you encounter, like a good craftsman would, like a good craftsman who sits down and considers what he has to build or what he has to create and innately knows what it is, how it looks. I marvel at this with artists, right? They see a blank canvas or they see a chunk of rock. And I look at it, I'm like, I don't know how you can make anything from that. Yet they are able to craft and create with skill, to pull out from that just blank canvas or that empty rock something beautiful. That is what we are looking for in wisdom. It's the ability to take what you know and maximize that in the right moment to produce the right result in the right way that honors and glorifies God. That's what wisdom is. It entails the ability to avoid problems and dangers and pitfalls. It's a skill to handle them as they present themselves. It also includes this ability to interpret other people's speech and writing in order to correctly understand what they're saying and how to respond to it. It's about discernment. You know, those people who just are able to walk through life and understand the pitfalls and see what they really are, and they're the people you lean on and they see things that you don't see, right? They've got skill for living. They've got discernment. Wisdom is the skill for living that will enable life flourishing, that will help us best handle the different situations and scenarios of life that come up. We talked last week about this path that we're on and how we have this tendency to get stuck, not knowing what direction to take, not knowing what fork in the road to go down. Wisdom will help us understand which path to take, because we're all moving and we're all going. Even though sometimes we feel like we're stuck, we're still making decisions in life. That is what wisdom entails for us today. So where does it come from? How does wisdom come to us? We hit this last week a little bit as we talked in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says. It starts there. This is not a fear of like terror and like I'm scared that I'm going to be hurt by him. It's a reverent awe. We defined the fear of the Lord last week as a soft heart towards God. A soft heart that is open and ready to receive what he has for us and to hear what he has to say and that it's ready. The opposite of the fear of God is a hard heart. A hard heart just stiff arms the things of God. A hard heart says, I don't care what you say, or I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to do my own thing. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. And we said the fool says there's no God because he's living in a false reality. He's living in a way which stiff arms God and rejects the thing he has and says, I don't need you. I've got my own path. I've got my own way. I've got my own wisdom. And I don't need the things that God has for me. And that person is a fool because he's stiff-arming God. He's not living in reality. He's living in a fantasy world. He's a fool because he rejects the things of God. He's got a hard heart towards God. And so this, I think, is a question for us as we sit and ask, do I have a soft heart towards God? I mean, you right now here today, as a dad, there are those moments in life where things just click and you're just so excited. Like, for as long as I've been a dad, every time I've come to nighttime where it's time for bed, and I say, all right, boys, it's time for bed, I feel like my kids lose their minds sometimes, right? It's like they've never heard of this bed before. Like, what are you talking about? What, going to bed? What is this thing of which you speak? I don't know what that means. Like, but every once in a while, there's this moment, right, where, okay, kids, it's time for bed. Okay, Father. It's happened like 3 times in my whole life. And they go up and go to bed. There's this moment of like, they're ready to receive it. They're not asking why. It's time for bed. Why? Because it's time for bed. Why? Like, there's not this hard-heartedness and this stiff arm and this questioning and this. It's just, okay, Dad, I'm ready. I'll go. And they go and they obey, and it's just this wonderful moment as a dad. I look at this, and it helps me understand how God relates to us sometimes, right? What do I do with God? God moves in my life, and he pushes me in a direction, and I'm like, why? Right? I've got a hard heart against him. I don't want to hear what he has to say all the time. But one who has a soft heart towards God is one who fears the Lord and is ready to hear what he has to say and respond and move and obey and do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It starts here. Where does wisdom come from? It starts with understanding and living in a world and a life that acknowledges that God is our King and that we follow after him. Wisdom also comes from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can grab this one here in the seats in front of you. Turn to page 339, and you can kind of follow along. We're going to be jumping through a lot of scripture today, and much of it will be on the screen. But if you're really looking to kind of write these things down and maybe go back and just remember these things, it's a good way to do that. But you can grab that. But Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Now this makes sense to me, because if God is the creator, if he is the inventor of life, then he knows best how life works. He knows what will lead to our flourishing, and he knows what will devastate us and wreck us and hurt us. And if he has really created us and he really loves us and he's giving us wisdom so that we can have skill for living and understanding how life works best, it makes sense that it comes from him. God's word is a source of wisdom for us. As we open up this scripture, as we understand that this Bible is given to us as the revelation of God, it is his word to us. And in it, we find skill for living. We find wisdom. We find truth. We find out how the world really works through the scriptures, through his word. It's a source of wisdom. But the source of wisdom is the word. And if the source of wisdom is the word, then we can rightly say that wisdom also comes from Jesus. John chapter 1 teaches us that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the embodiment of, the personification of, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says it this way, "And because of him, that is God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God." You want to know what wisdom looks like? You want to know what wisdom is? Look at Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he hears about their faith, and he says this for them. He said, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." What does he pray for? He prays for this, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him." That's what he prays for the people of God. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus he's confronting the Pharisees once again. And the Pharisees were these people who were just uber religious, and they thought that they could get to God through their own efforts and their own ability, and they were really prideful. They were really, they put a lot of stock in their own ability and their own religiosity. Yet they rejected the very thing that could save them, which was Christ. They were hard-hearted towards him. They stuck their they straight-armed him as he came and as he revealed who he was. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And he's confronting them on this. He's confronting them on the fact that he's speaking to them, that he was the promised one they've been waiting for, and they're just not hearing him. And he reminds them of the queen of Egypt who came to hear the words of Solomon. And he says this about her. He says, "The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." How does wisdom come to us? It comes through Jesus. Jesus says, Solomon was the wisest man on the earth, and people came from the ends of the earth to hear what he had to say. Something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is greater than Solomon. All the wisdom that we're gleaning from this book of Proverbs written by Solomon finds its source in Jesus, the Word, as we see in John chapter 1. If we want to know wisdom, if we want to walk in wisdom, we must get to know Jesus, because he is the embodiment of wisdom. He's the personification of wisdom. He is wisdom incarnate who walks the earth. So wisdom comes from the knowledge and the fear of God. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Wisdom comes from Jesus, but it can also come from others. And throughout the Proverbs, we see this call for wisdom for this youth, right? This son. And so we hear in Proverbs 1, "Hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Comes from parental teaching and advice. Wisdom is something you learn. It's not something that we are born with. It's not something that comes naturally to us. We don't come out of the womb with wisdom. We have to be taught it. We have to learn it. Proverbs 2:1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, then you will understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." First, chapter 4, verse 10, "Hear, my son, and accept my words, that your years of life may be many." Chapter 6, verse 12, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." This call to this youth, this call for this son is to listen to the wisdom of his parents and the wisdom of those who are around him, who are for him, who want his thriving and his flourishing in life, and they're pleading with him. Don't forsake these things. Listen. Wisdom can come from other wise people. Proverbs 10:13. "On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense." So maybe you didn't grow up with parents who fear the Lord, right? Parents who have soft hearts for the things of God. Parents who led you in wisdom and taught you these things. So who do you lean on? Who do you lean on for wisdom? Outside of what you read from the scriptures, outside of what you learn from Jesus, those around you have been given to you as gifts with wisdom. Find those people. Listen to those people. Open yourself up to those people so you can help understand what direction you should take in your life. They will help you and give you skill for that. Listen to those people. If you don't have them, find them. So what benefit does wisdom give to us? What does it do for us? Why is this something that we should seek and discover and find out and learn and take time to understand? Well, wisdom helps us avoid the path of darkness or evil. It helps us avoid the dangers that lurk all around. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, we looked at this last week, didn't we? "My son, when sinners entice you, when their voices cry out to pull you off the path of wisdom, to follow their evil ways, resist them," the author says. There will always be opportunities in this life to leave the path of wisdom and the righteousness and walk in folly and in darkness. There will always be voices enticing us towards folly. But wisdom, when it is stored up and cherished, It helps us in those situations to avoid those traps. And that's what they are. They're traps. We're walking a minefield of life. And there are traps all over. And there's an enemy who's bent on our destruction, doesn't want our lives to flourish, doesn't want us to walk in honor and submission to God. He wants us to walk the path of folly. And friends, if we don't have skill to see the traps as for what they are, then we're going to get caught up in it. Proverbs 2, 12 through 15. After wisdom comes to you, it will deliver you from the way of evil. It will deliver you from men of perverted speech who forsake paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, those who rejoice in doing evil and who delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom helps us avoid being deceived, tricked. It helps us avoid the crooked paths. I remember being a kid and not really understanding how life works, and times in my life where I was deceived and tricked, and I thought one thing would give me happiness or satisfaction because that's what it said on the commercial, and I would get that thing, and it wouldn't supply. I see this in my kids, right? They're simple. And so they turn on the TV and they watch a commercial about these shoes that light up. And I remember when they were younger, they really wanted these because they really thought that if they get those shoes that light up, they will be able to fly, because that's what they did in the commercial, right? This marketing campaign driven towards them to get them to think that if they have this thing, then they'll have what they want. They get it, and what happens? They've been deceived. They've been tricked. They've been lied to. We need skill for living, so that we're not tricked, so that we're not deceived. Wisdom delivers us from those people and the path that they walk on. It saves us from heartache and the consequences of the traps that life has for us. Wisdom helps us do what is right and hate what is wrong. The fear of the Lord, we said, is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge, but the fear of the Lord also gives us a hatred for evil. It begins with the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 8:13 says this, tells us that the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So here's what we learn from that. When we have a soft heart towards the things of God, when we are open and ready to hear the things that he has for us and respond to them, when we are in reverent awe of him, that we hate evil as God hates evil. When we fear the Lord, we grow to love and embrace wisdom. We seek it. We celebrate it. We love it. We put it around our necks like a garland, right? And we reject the things that are evil. We are empowered to hate evil and to reject it. Evil becomes less appealing to us because we see it for what it really is. We see it for the trap it is. We see it, how it hurts and exploits and how it abuses and uses. And we hate it because we fear the Lord. We have a soft heart towards him. And we love the things he loves, and we hate the things he hates. Wisdom helps us form and maintain discretion, specifically in our relationships. Proverbs chapter 5 says this, as this father is pleading with his son to walk wisely and circumspectly when it comes to relationships. He says, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. He says this, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. What this tells us is this father is trying to explain to his son who to avoid, what kind of woman to avoid in his life. He says that although her speech is smooth and her lips are honey, she leads to death. Only wisdom, only skill for living will enable this young man to recognize her and avoid her. Proverbs 7:5 says the same thing, that embracing and knowing wisdom protects us from the wayward women. How does wisdom help this young man avoid the wrong woman? It helps him because he will be able to see through her smooth speech and her manipulation and her flattery. He sees through the trap. Again, this father to son just pleading with his boy not to get trapped in sexual sin. You know, I counsel with innumerable men who get caught up in this wayward woman at a young age. Usually the wayward woman is on a screen or a magazine, and then grown men come and weep in my office because their lives and their marriages have been ripped apart because of this particular folly. And their one wish, they say over and over again, that they would have been able to see through the trap earlier. That they would have been able to understand how devastating this was for them. That they would have had skill for living at a younger age to be able to navigate and know what this leads to and where this goes. That they would have discernment and discretion. Wisdom helps us with that. Wisdom also helps us in that it provides prosperity that is greater than material wealth or treasure. When you hear prosperity, don't think money here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 said, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver." Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10 and 11 says, "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you desire cannot compare with her." If we want to be people who live with skill, we need to be people who see money, gold, jewels, all these things that Proverbs uses to describe this wealth for what it is and what it's not. Next week, we're going to be talking in particular of what it looks like and what the Proverbs speaks to when it comes to money. Because after wisdom, it talks about money more than anything else because it's something that's a part of our life, right? It's something that we need to live by and with. And we need to have appropriate understanding and perspective on money and what it is and what it isn't and what it can do and what it shouldn't do and understanding how we can live with skill with money. So we look at this and say, wisdom is greater than material wealth or treasure. Is it for you? What do you value more? Would you value wisdom or cash? I asked this question a few weeks ago as Solomon is given the opportunity to have anything from God that he asks. He doesn't ask for wealth. He doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for old age. What does he ask for? Discernment. So that he can lead his people in justice and fairness and righteousness. What would you ask for? In your heart of hearts, what would be more important to you? Wisdom also helps us in that it provides protection and security and confidence in our lives. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck, that you will walk on your way securely, and that your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." It says you'll sleep well. "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Doesn't that sound wonderful? That's the kind of like life I want, right? I want to be able to sleep at night in peace and security and confidence. Proverbs 4:6, "Do not forsake her," it's wisdom, "and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you." Proverbs 4:22, "They," the words of wisdom from the Father, are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh, and healing to their bones. Wisdom protects, it guards, it heals, it gives us confidence, it helps us sleep well at night. So what happens if we reject wisdom? What happens if we stiff arm wisdom and we don't want to hear and we don't want to see and we don't want to understand, and we think that our way is better, that our wisdom and our understanding and our path is the path of that we should follow? The answer is that we invite difficulty and pain into our lives. Again, Proverbs 3:31, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Proverbs 4:10-19, hear my son and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Do you hear the language here? Let's just grab onto this. Don't miss this. Don't forget this. Don't drop this. Guard her, for she is your life. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble, for they eat bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the path of the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. You see the contrast here. There's two paths. One is the way of evil and darkness, and they're walking around stumbling through life, and they can't figure it out. They don't even know what they're falling over. They're blinded, and they can't see. And the other path is the path of light. It's the path of confidence. It's the path where you can walk without fearing that you're going to fall. I told you last week of my story of hiking in the Adirondacks and how it just went bad. And we're walking around in the middle of the night, in the middle of the darkness, in the depth of November darkness. It was just dark. And we went so slow because we kept tripping over ourselves. We'd run into each other. We'd trip over rocks and we'd fall over logs. We couldn't see in front of us. And this is how many people just walk through life when they reject wisdom. They're stumbling. They're not confident. They can't get up and run. They don't know which way they're going. They stumble in the darkness. They don't open their eyes to what's clearly in front of them. When I was working at my old church, we had a kids' event one night, and I was kind of supervising, and I heard a scream, and I turned around, and I saw this young boy running up, and he had blood just coming down all over his face. It was all over his shirt, and I'm like, this boy's dead. Like, I'm going to have to explain to his mom that this boy bled out right here. And he runs up to me, and I grab him. I'm like, what happened? And he looks at me and says, I was running with my eyes closed, and I ran into a fence, right? And I don't know if you know head wounds, but they just bleed a lot, so we were able to get the bleeding stop, and he was fine. But I just thought that was a great illustration of life, right? Because this is what we do when we reject wisdom. We cover our eyes with our hands and say, no, I know how to do this. And we run full blast into every obstacle and then wonder why we're bleeding out of our head. This is what happens when we reject wisdom. Rejecting wisdom is like running with our eyes closed. We're hiding from what is clearly in front of us. We're choosing to go it alone instead of walking with the one who has revealed all things. We're unwilling to walk on the solid footing of the path that's laid out for us. So we end up rolling the dice, taking our chances in the forest, running as fast and as hard as we can with our eyes closed. We stumble when we reject wisdom. We don't live in security. We don't sleep well at night because we don't know what's coming next. If we don't listen to wisdom, Solomon says we're fools. If we reject what God has so clearly shown us, we are leaning on our own understanding. We're stepping off the path of wisdom, and we're not walking in humility, but in pride because we think we know better how to walk in the dark than to walk in the light that God has given us. This is the path of folly. And though it promises to take us to prosperity and joy, it only leads to our own destruction and undoing. Isn't this the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden? They thought by rejecting God's word, really the source of wisdom, that they would find their true sight, right? That's what the enemy told them, right? Reject what God has given you, and you will be able to determine what is right and wrong. Your path is the best path. You know the way. So they obeyed and they listened. And we've been stumbling over ourselves and confused about what is right and wrong ever since. By one man sent into the world and death through sin, and death spread to all of us. And so we all are born with this bent towards folly of our first parents. Or we think we know better than what God has given us. Stumbling over ourselves, confused. But thanks be to God that he has not left us without hope. He himself came as a second Adam to give life where the first Adam brought death, to undo what the first Adam broke. He came with wisdom of God to provide the pathway back to God. Jesus is the pathway back to wisdom. And it's through his death on the cross that we have life. His death, the Bible says, was the manifest wisdom of God. And it's what we gather here to celebrate every week. Really, what we gather to celebrate every week as we come and we take this bread and we drink this cup, we're celebrating the wisdom of God. We're celebrating the light. We're celebrating the path that is back to him, the path of wisdom. And so there's nothing more appropriate, I think, that we can do today as we try to grasp and understand what this wisdom is, than to celebrate the wisdom of God that we see even in this table today. In just a minute, we're going to celebrate communion, which remembers the sacrificial death of Jesus, a death that is for us, a death of crucifixion on a tree that to everyone in the world looks like foolishness. This was the early church. They would say their Savior died on the cross, and the people of that time were like, really? That's what you're going with? That sounds like foolishness. But what we understand, it's the wisdom of God. It's the reality of the wisdom of God for all who believe, for all that fear the Lord, for all of those whose hearts are soft. So as we celebrate this bread and this cup, what I hope that we can do today is consider the wisdom of God in sending Jesus, the Word of God, who is the wisdom of God, and his plan and skill in saving humanity, that we celebrate wisdom here today, and that we be a people who search for it, who will never stop learning about it, who will never stop pursuing Jesus so that we can understand wisdom better, so that we can walk in skill in this life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, that from it we can find the skill of living that we need to be able to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And God, I pray today that we wouldn't be fools. I pray today that we wouldn't approach life with our own ideas of how things should be, but that we empty ourselves like Solomon did, where he cries out, God, I'm but a child. I don't know which way to go. Show me, teach me, guide me. And God, let us have that attitude. Let us seek and search wisdom. Let us listen for it because it's crying out in the streets. Let us not be people who hear it and reject it and turn aside, but a people who listen and follow and obey with soft hearts, people who fear God and walk in obedience. In your name we pray. Amen.